Today I have the privilege of bringing on the chairman of Bay Equity, Mr. Jim Corbett. How you doing, Jim?
Great, Mark. And very nice to be here with you.
I'm glad you are here. You've done so much for the entrepreneurial community over the years. You are an entrepreneur, but give us an overview. I mean, what are all the things that you got going? I know it's not just the chairman of Bay Equity. Give us the totality of this thing.
Well, I've been involved in several businesses over the years, and you know, the thing that I'm most proud of is being the founder of the Sacramento Entrepreneurship Academy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was born in 1986. It was the idea of a professor I had at Indiana University who simply said, entrepreneurs should replicate themselves. So consequently, we put together a board of directors, a mix of entrepreneurs as well as professionals who serviced entrepreneurs, and started, quote-unquote, a class, if you will. Pricewaterhouse housed us for the first 18 years. So we had a pretty significant imprimatur, if you will, someone who believed in what we were trying to do and gave us space to do our thing. And over the years, we helped young people through this class, if you will, learn how to create, write, and present business plans.
So describe to me, you say young person, we're talking about a young professional. Right? This is somebody, what's the age range for one of the students?
In the very beginning, we tried to fill these classes with juniors and seniors from both Sac State and UC Davis.
Okay.
And this was not this was not part of any university program. This was a private, nonprofit formed by entrepreneurs and, again, professionals who've worked with entrepreneurs. And we raised a small amount of money. And we put together a curriculum where they would, in teams, write a business plan and present it. And we critiqued them until the cows came home. And many of them, including people like Ethan Conrad and Buzz Stryker, significant entrepreneurs in this community, were part and parcel of it.
Wow.
So we've graduated roughly 700 people from this academy. And the success stories go on and on and on. Bay Equity happens to be, the CEO of Bay Equity happens to be a graduate of our 95 class.
Wow.
And him and I, through golf and real estate, he was a commercial broker in San Francisco for many years. And in 07, he said, I have an idea, Jim. And he called me in and said, what do you think if we started a mortgage bank? The timing couldn't be better. And frankly, it has been better looking back on it. But in the early days, trying to raise a warehouse line, a credit facility to help us originate our loans was virtually impossible.
So you started a mortgage company in 2007?
That's correct.
Okay, yeah. Sometimes we think about timing, good and bad. That sounds like the wrong time.
You know, frankly, for the first 8 months after we signed the LLC documents, it looked like the wrong time. But our CEO... talked to 70 different warehouse banking concerns and got no for an answer every time. Through a friend of a friend, we heard about Bridge Bank out of the Silicon Valley, and they basically listened to us. And, you know, the CEO kind of chides me every once in a while and says, Jim, after that meeting, you gave the chief credit officer the biggest hug I've ever seen anybody. I said, well... She said she was going to do the loan.
So let's tell us how this works. Break it down for the C student here. So when you say warehouse banking, these are the people that underwrite the loans, right? Is that how that works?
No, not really.
Okay.
What they simply do is set up a credit facility for the mortgage bank to originate the loans.
Okay.
They have to be in a form and format that's appropriately, because they want to know, can you sell that loan out the other end?
Right.
To various companies, including other banks that have a mortgage portfolio, or Fannie, Freddie, and Ginny Mae get involved to insure the loan. So it's a very complex business.
Okay.
But the truth of the matter is that we got a $3 million loan from Bridge Bank, provided we put $1.4 million in a deposit.
Ooh, yikes.
So we were borrowing about $1.4 million of our own money.
Yeah.
Long and short of it is that first month, June 1st, we turned that loan $3 million facility, 3.25 times. We did $10 million of loans our first month. Wow. Eventually, Wachovia gave us a facility, and it meant everything to us, to say the least. We now have almost $450 million worth of credit facility on the front door.
Wow. So, and what's the size? You have how many employees now?
We have 1,100 employees as we speak.
Wow.
We're licensed in 32 states. We're very active in 18. And it's been an incredible run, to say the least. And for me to be part of it, because of this Academy alum, is so special.
Incredible. The amount of revenue and economic growth that has come out of that Academy. But let's talk about, we talked earlier about the state of the economy and entrepreneurship. And so in the mortgage industry, you're very tied you're sensitive to interest rates and things like that.
For sure.
How do you view things at this stage?
Well, at this stage, it's problematic. We like to think, 4, maybe even 5 distinct refinance runs in our early history that meant everything to us. Mm-hmm. But we could foretell that eventually the refinance runs would change, and they have changed. We turned our model to a purchase model where interest rates are not as important to the prospective borrower because they want to buy a house,
right,
with a contract in a given point in time. So now 80% of our loans are purchase loans, 20% are refinance. But it's down. It used to be 60-40 refinance,
okay,
to purchase.
So
we made
the change.
Change in the model was fortuitous. It's worked well. And we think we'll get through this next cycle quite well.
Right, because you see the prices of houses are still ticking up, and people are upgrading and mm-hmm. going into bigger homes and that,
yep,
kind of thing, more expensive homes. There's reason to go borrow money.
Yep.
There's transactions happening today. What do you think a healthy interest rate would be for, because down when we're holding them down artificially low, is that really, obviously inflation can come at some point.
Well, I think those rates were held low, let's face it, by the Federal Reserve. They wanted to get us out into a more stable economy. That's happened now. There's definite signs that the economy's changing. We see 2019 as a difficult year for housing. We see that the tax law changes and the limitation on interest being an mm-hmm. impediment. We see the millennials with their significant student debt being an impediment to them going out and buying houses. The fact that most of the refinances are done at significantly lower rates will also hurt the volume totals.
Okay.
So we are very diversified geographically. We're in Illinois, Minnesota, Colorado is significant to us, Arizona is significant, Washington State. We do some work in California, but very competitive market. Margins are thinner here. And there's definitely difficult signs ahead. There's no doubt about it. And we are aggressively planning on it. We run our financial model twice a month. We meet twice a month and be on top of the changing expectations for volume. So it's a never-ending battle to stay on top of things.
All right, so you were the founder of the Sacramento Entrepreneurial Academy. Obviously, you've done much more than that. We talk about Bay Equity and the mortgage side of things. Give us a little more of the totality of this set of ventures that you have going.
Well, I recently was involved as an investor on POS Portal.
Okay.
You may have heard of Buzz Stryker.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds like a Hollywood name, but that's his name. He was an Academy. He's an Academy alum from our third or fourth class. He grew up in the payments industry and ultimately started his own company with a small amount of money, $500,000 he raised. And I was part of that deal, including other Academy people. And he sold it for a significant 9 figures in 2017. Along the way, Mark, I'm proud to tell you, he employed a number of our Academy alums as well, including one. If she stood here today, she's about 5 foot, 95 pounds, out of Roseville, who worked for Buzz for 16 years. And Buzz simply said, whenever I have a problem, I give it to On. So On now has started her own business called Notify.com.
Okay.
It's an app for property managers and condo managers to move the significant issues of packages that come through their offices on a daily basis because guess what? People are buying online.
For sure.
So package management, maybe something new
yes,
to you, Mark.
Yes, yes.
But the world's changing. So she's created this app. So it just they have to scan the package, and in turn, a text goes out to the addressee to
yes.
get your pick up your package because don't have any room for
right.
it.
Right, yeah. I have the guys that are in the locker business, and you know, I try to use lockers for Amazon shipments.
That is now one of the issues. That's one of her key competitors.
Oh, okay.
But she has created a niche and a cash flow
that is
pretty doggone impressive.
Oh, wow. Well, it sounds like I need to get her on the show as well.
You'd
love set that up for
You'd
me.
Absolutely. I'm happy to do that.
Okay, on. Yeah. We're coming after you, baby. Okay, so you're an investor, you're helping so many people, but I got to imagine the curriculum has changed over the years for SEA, right, the Sacramento Entrepreneurial Academy.
Yeah, it has changed. You know, I stepped away about 5 or 6 years ago, and frankly, in all candor, it's better than ever. The quality of the members are better than ever. The diversity is broader than ever. The spirit that these young people bring to these sessions is out of this world. Fear not, Sacramento. There's a lot of great people coming through, and they're extraordinary people. And, you know, one thing we try to do as part and parcel of the Academy is make sure they understand the give back piece. And I can tell you, without a question, they do. They care about their community. They care about doing the right things. They care about building a culture. To me, it's as good as it gets. And we've kept it pretty low profile, Mark, mm-hmm. as you
yeah.
probably know. I mean, you know, each class is about 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they work closely together. They get good counsel. I mean, Corley Phillips remains involved.
Yeah.
Buddy Hubbard remains involved. Some of the people that, you know, a lot of our alums have come back and been active on the board.
It's so generous that you guys doing what you do, helping, I call it helping the next guy in line or
yeah.
the next girl in line. Where do you think your philosophies were developed from? Obviously, you've had all the success, you're still pushing, you're still grinding, still super active. Where did your philosophy come from? Because we talked about family business
yeah.
with Denton. Is it a family thing?
Not really. Really, you know, my dad was a debit salesman for Prudential Life Insurance, which means he basically collected premiums door to door.
Okay.
I mean, I'm one of six kids, second of six kids. I had a paper route. And
yes.
I always had money in my pocket. I always figured out.
Did you grow up in Sacramento?
No, I'm a Jersey boy.
Okay.
I grew up in a town called Runnymede, New Jersey. Exit 3 on the turnpike, and I went to college in Philadelphia. I was the first person in my family to go to college at LaSalle in Philadelphia. And in short order, I went in the Army because the Vietnam War was raging. I don't purport to be a hero, but my number came up, and it was time to go. I spent 22 and a half months in the military, including 11 and a half months in Vietnam. I grew up fast. I learned how to manage people really fast. But I went home for 45 hours and went to Indiana University in the heart of the Midwest. Bloomington, Indiana is one of the great places of the country, if not the world. And I got an MBA there, and I met a lot of great people. And one of the people I met was this Bill Haberle, arguably the first professor of entrepreneurship in America, who taught a class on Monday nights in his house, how to raise money for your ideas.
Ah.
He was a quasi-Wall Street guy.
That was post-Vietnam.
Post-Vietnam,
yeah.
Yep. And, you know, I ran out of my Vietnam savings. I got a job working in the school management's business education. So we put on seminars for visiting executives. My job was to put on the cocktail parties.
Ah,
I put on 52
cocktails. That's not like a bad job.
I was good at it, I'll tell you, Mark. But I met a lot of interesting people along the way, and people were good to me, and I felt like, because of my experiences in Jersey, you give back to your community. It's part of what you do. So when we interviewed young people for the Academy, I always asked, why do you think we're doing this? And we really expected these young, in many cases naive young people, to have an inkling, an idea of what we were doing. And a lot of them came up and said, well, you're giving something back to your community. Those young people who typically got in the Academy, sometimes they were told to come back the next year if they weren't quite ready.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, it's a big picture. But the entrepreneurship world, you're fiercely independent. You're doing what you love to do. And it's not a job. It's an experience. And I've taken this to the next level. I mean, I founded a number of businesses. I was a syndicator, a financial planner. Those businesses begat one another, kind of. But the academy thing and working with young people is the best thing I've ever done, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, my son was in Afghanistan. We actually shot in Afghanistan. So when I hear somebody who, you were a staff sergeant, weren't you, in Vietnam? Think about people like yourself that fought for our freedom. You know, it's so, you know, all I have is respect. And I always think, well, what can I do? People like you have done what you've done. But I also say on the show a lot that entrepreneurs are the heroes of the American economy because they take the risk, they make the sacrifices. You're right. At times, it doesn't feel like work. Sometimes it's pretty painful, right? It's kind of scary out there. When you think of entrepreneurs, I mean, what do you think is so special about entrepreneurship?
Sometimes they don't know what they don't know, and they venture into the unknown, so to speak. I mean, there's so many variables that are out of your control. You got to give it your best shot every day. I'll be candid with you, Mark. Right now, we're grinding at Bay Equity. We are grinding our derrieres off to be prepared for a great year next year, despite what the climate may bring. We owe it to our people. We owe it to our people to do well. Not only our investors. That's all. We're always there for your investors. But our employees have given so much. Our top 15 have been with us 5 years now. We function beautifully as a team. They're all on notice. Yeah. We're working hard. It's been a hard summer already. But we're ready. We're up to the challenge. We got strong people, and we'll get through it.
Advice to entrepreneurs, right? We talk about our listeners are thinking about becoming entrepreneurs. Some of them maybe in the early stages. We even have some that are maybe, have significant sized companies. But just advice to people out there that are thinking about entrepreneurship and chasing their dream that they have.
You know, obviously, do your homework. Talk to people. Perfect that 3-minute elevator speech for each day. Because by learning from people, it changes daily too. But eventually, it's like trying to pass a car on the hill. It's going slow in front of you. You know, you're afraid to jump out there until you get over the crest of the hill and you see. Once you get that right information, it's time. It's go time. When we got in that helicopter and it was time to rappel, we rappelled out of that helicopter. And it's the same thing about running a business. Sometimes you have to make a decision and go for it. Some people are timid and it's not for them. It's just not for them. Many are called, but few are chosen. This is a tough business. I mean, we live in a government town that people have a pretty easy life, in my humble opinion. But the entrepreneurs that win here, they deserve to win here. The entrepreneurs that win out there, they deserve to win out there. As long as they're good citizens, go for it. And most of the people in the business world, I remember 1968, there was a class on business and society. Business has been given back to society forever. You know, let's deal with reality here. Anyway.
Jim Corbett, Bay Equity. You don't like Jim Corbett. You don't like America, my friends. Jim, thank you for sharing your story. Very inspirational. Makes me want to go out and sell something. I just really appreciate what you've done for our community. Thanks for coming on the program today.
You're very welcome, Mark. Thank you.
You bet. If you like our entrepreneurial stories, if you like the messages that we bring that inspire, if you want a little more Mark Haney, not everybody does, but if you do, feel free to subscribe, feel free to be part of our community, engage, comment, share. I want to get to know you better. You want to get to know me better. Follow me on all our social media platforms at The Mark Haney. I look forward to knowing you better, and let's get to know each other better so we can help build these businesses that we love.